Hi, listeners. Welcome to the She Speaks Life podcast, a weekly encouragement where we share our God stories. I'm your host, Jamie Elizabeth, and I am so glad you are spending time with us today to listen. Hi, friend. Welcome to this week's episode. I am so glad you chose to listen today. I'm excited to introduce to you Rachel Adams. Rachel is a writer, speaker, and podcast host for The Love Offering. She has a sensational blog and writes for Crosswalk, AbleMoms.org, and so much more. I love her heart for God and how she gives us practical ways on how we can be a love offering to others. Today, we are going to talk about significance and how it's more simple than we think. We are going to tackle on some of those questions we tend to ask ourselves, like, am I doing enough? Or why does my life seem so mundane? She has great insight on how we can live life of fullness and what God says about significance. Rachel, I'm so glad you are here with us today. Welcome to She Speaks Life.
Thank you so much for having me. It really is my honor.
Well, I love your topic that we're going to talk about, feeling significant. But before we get into that, I'd love for you to share a little bit about yourself. And I know I saw an adorable picture of you and your amazing kids. And just tell us where you live and all that good stuff.
Well, I am just a small town Kentucky girl. My husband just moved me to a farm just this past year. And so I feel like I'm really like owning that Kentucky like image, you know. We don't have any horses. I've only ridden a horse once and it was a terrifying experience. so many times people know us for, you know, those Kentucky thoroughbreds. But that is not me. But yeah, as you mentioned, I have two children, Will and Kate. Will is he is in sixth grade, so he's 12. And then Kate is in fourth grade and she's 10. And this year has been very interesting as far as like they've been home quite a bit through COVID, but it has been such a joy just to have them home and watch them grow up. And my husband and I have been married for 15 years. And so, yeah, I'm a stay-at-home mom who writes a little bit and podcasts a little bit. And just trying to do the best I can each and every day. And like you mentioned, so often the things that I do aren't very noteworthy necessarily. You know, it's those, you know, today I worked out, I made the bed, I put in a load of laundry, packed some lunches, went for a walk with my dogs. And now, you know, getting to talk with you and so many of those things, you know, nobody saw those today. And so I can't wait to dive into this conversation about how even in those small, everyday, unseen things that God sees us and that they are significant.
Yeah, I love that. I know. And I think a lot of us struggle with maybe not feeling significant because maybe we compare ourselves to other people's lives and we're like, oh, well, we're not doing that. Oh, well, that looks so nice and fancy. And, you know, my life doesn't look like that. So yeah, I mean, I would love for you to just start us off with where that started to break your heart for wanting to encourage others to feel significant. And, you know, maybe it was your own personal experience on feeling insignificant and knowing, wow, like I'm talking to a lot of women. This is very common.
Yeah. You know, I think just to really go back into my, you know, childhood, my parents were divorced when I was in second grade. I was the middle child of two brothers, you know, kind of they bookended me. And I wasn't raised in a Christian home. Later on, I was, and my parents found Christ and I did too as well. But My parents are entrepreneurial, and so it was very much kind of a business-minded. That's kind of how my personality is. It's very goal-oriented, and in fact, even growing up, my dad would have me sign contracts like, okay, this is what our goals are, sign here and date here, and this is when you're going to produce this outcome. And I think that there's so much value in that.
Okay.
I mean, I think that that has formed me. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, I've got goals, and I'm an achiever, and I want to go and do this, and I think there is so much good in that. But in now in my mind and in my heart, it's been really difficult for me to shift out of that performance-based mindset. I just always felt like I needed to earn my love and earn my value and perform to be loved. And I just had this, and still do, this attachment to outcome. That, you know, if I do this plus this, it's going to equal this. And then I'm going to be loved if I do that. And so, you know, as I have grown in my relationship with the Lord, I'm starting to realize that He loves me just as I am, not because I have done anything. You know, you go back to Genesis and he created us and He said, we are very good before we ever even did anything. And then I look at the life of Jesus and when He was being baptized and God looks down on Him before Jesus had it really even started ministry. And God said, this is my Son with whom I'm very much pleased. And so this has been this this journey of, you know, taking all that upbringing. And I guess to answer your question, this is a long way to answer it. When I became a mother, and it was very much like, I'm feeding these children, I'm changing diapers, I'm home all day pretty much by myself, and I'm playing with them, you know, playing trains and going for walks and giving baths. And it was kind of like, is this enough? What am I doing? Am I wasting my life? And does this matter? And I even feel guilty saying that because it's like, gosh, God entrusted me to be a mother of these children, but it just didn't feel like enough. Is this significant? And am I contributing enough? Right. And I think that just, it plays into, and you mentioned this comparison. It's like, we keep looking around at all these other women and you're like, well, look at what she's doing. Wow. Look at what she's achieving. Look at, you know, look at her life. How can she do this and this and this? And then I think, gosh, this isn't enough. And so that was that real place where God met me and was like, Rachel, I love you just as you are. This is important work that I've given you specifically to do. You have a purpose that only you can fulfill in this generation, and trust in that.
That's so good. I mean, I can relate sitting on the floor and just overwhelmed with loneliness and feeling like, oh, wow, you know, I went from a job. Now I'm staying at home and I'm around no adults. My husband was going to the office. I mean, now he works from home, but there was no adult around, just, you know, a few babies there. I mean, my hands full, and, you know, it was diapers and loads of laundry and cleaning up. And it just felt so mundane, right? Of just every day looking the same. But like you were saying, as you grow in your walk with the Lord, and I started to really dive into God's word, I really saw, okay, this is my significance. This is what I'm here for, is to disciple my kids, to be their mentor, their mom, you know, to be able to teach about Jesus. But I had to first fill up with that, right? You can't just, you know, deliver something if you're not filled up with it. You have to, you know, have your overflow, be able to, you know, parent well. So I first had to fill myself up with the Word of God, my prayer life, my relationship with Jesus. Then I started to see that significance slowly started to change. So
yeah, you know, the same is true of me. And I think the same is true of us all. It's like, we have to love as He first loved us, but we have to know what that love is. We have to experience that love for ourselves. And I think so much of my background is as insecurity and inadequacy and not feeling like enough. And, you know, I just was recently reading in Exodus about Moses. And, you know, when God called him, his first reaction response was, "Who am I?" You know, and God didn't actually, you know, it's so important for us to know what our identity in Christ is. But at the same time, God didn't just say, "Well, you're Moses, you're this, you're smart, you're brave, you're, you know, you've got all these great qualities." Yeah. He didn't say any of that. In fact, he just said, "I am." Like, "God, I'm enough." So it doesn't matter if you feel like you're enough or what you're doing or what you got going on is great. Like, "I am." And that's where our significance comes from. We have to have that identity, like you were saying, to fill ourselves up with him, know who we are in him. And the only thing, the only reason we have anything to offer of meaning and of value is because he has created us in his image, and he is enough. And, you know, I actually had polled my podcast listeners about this significance topic. And I asked the question, I want to make sure I get this right. How much do you think that you have to offer? That was the question. And on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest, the average answer was a 3. This is how much people thought they had to offer, was a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10. And then I followed up that question by saying, do you think what you're contributing matters? And 83% responded no. And so it just strikes me so interesting. Like,
that breaks my heart.
It does, doesn't it? It's like, we, you know, and even if your listeners are saying, "Well, I'm not a mother, so I don't really, I'm not, you know, I don't understand what you're talking about, like nursing and changing diapers and all those things." But I think it's this feeling of what we're doing not mattering, but wanting it to matter is across the board, whether you are a nurse or a store clerk or a bus driver or a teacher. It's like it all becomes mundane because it's our normal day-to-day routine. And we keep confusing, like, bigger for better, visible for valuable, and small as insignificant. And the reality is it's just not the case. That God's economy is the complete opposite of that.
That is so good. Okay, so what are some ways that we can get rid of, you were saying, debunk those lies? Like, how can we get on this new perspective, a fresh mindset of starting to feel the significance? I know we talked about, you know, God making you feel significant. And I know that's, you know, really the essential part is getting to know the character of God, therefore knowing our identity. And that's where we find our significance. But I know you have practical ways that each day we can really apply ourselves to really press into feeling that significance.
Yeah, you know, because this has been such an issue and such a felt need for me, I just dug into the scriptures. It's like, okay, God, I know that you choose ordinary people and ordinary objects. And when those people and those objects were given to you, then you used them and you multiplied them and you made them extraordinary. And Lord, I want that same thing in my life. And so, you know, you look at the people in the Bible, they were slaves and tax collectors and fishermen and shepherds, you know, and that's where God met them. He was using what they were doing. You know, I'm sure David, as he was in the field shepherding, he probably didn't, you know, that probably felt pretty mundane too, but that's where God met him. Or Gideon threshing the wheat, or, you know, Peter fishing. They were just doing their normal day-to-day jobs. And it just struck me how, you know, like, Peter had a net in his hand. You know, Moses had a staff in his hand, and like these ordinary objects. And so I started thinking, like, God, what have you placed in my hand? You know, okay, I'm doing these things. I'm cooking. Okay, I have a spatula in my hand. How can I use that to bless somebody? Well, I can use that to create a meal for my family. I can use that to take a meal to my neighbor. You know, and so you just, I think as women and as just God's people in general, we need to just say, okay, God, what have you given me? Maybe it's a pen, you know, so I'm going to write a letter to a friend or family member or even a stranger, or, you know, like you and I, we're writers. And so we, you know, he's given us words to say to prayerfully encourage other people. And, you know, he's given us both a microphone to podcast. So, you know, it's like, just kind of take inventory of your life. Okay, God, where do you have me? Who have you surrounded me with? And what have you given me? And I want to use that. And so often we think it's not big enough, you know, and as I was studying the scriptures, you know, how many times did he just focus on the one? He focused on the one lost sheep, the one lost coin, the, you know, the one person. And he valued those ones, you know, even sitting at the well, you know, with the woman, he took the time to sit with her and have a conversation and have an encounter. And so the same thing is true of us in our lives is if we start to view every single encounter with the people that we come across in our day-to-day, you know, lives, whether it's in our homes or at our workplaces or, you know, on at the checkout line at the grocery or on the sidelines at our children's ball games, view every single encounter as special and significant and see where God can take that.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, so much of what you're saying reminds me because I just started watching The Chosen and I started binge watching. I mean, it was just like one after another. Now I'm caught up, but how he did just find just the ordinary men, you know, and women, and they even talked about that in the show. Like they had the characters even say, oh my gosh, like, we were just chosen while we were doing our mundane things, you know, like fishing or whatever, to follow Jesus. And I do love just the small acts of kindness that can make things significant in other people's lives. Like, for instance, I was at IHOP restaurant and our waiter comes over and tells my husband and I that our bill was paid. And this was just an act of love and kindness from somebody that we didn't even know. But just that made us feel, I would think, significant. Like somebody saw us sitting there and thought, oh, well, I'll pay for their meal. And, you know, maybe somebody did that to him or her. But in any way, we ended up repeating that. So the last time we were in that restaurant, we ended up paying for another person's meal. And I just love how even that small, simple act of significance was contagious. And it kind of just spread like wildfire. I remember somebody telling me, hey, you know, next time you're folding laundry, just pray for that person. If you're folding laundry for your son or, you know, your daughter, or if you have little ones, babies, just start praying over their life. Somebody that I talked to went as far as going through the armor of God, you know, as she's folding the socks and, you know, the shoes of peace. And I mean, it's just like so incredible. And I haven't personally gone that far, but I'm like, good for them, right?
I do like that idea.
Yeah, to be doing that. So that's why I wanted to say something, because maybe somebody out there would think that would be really a cool thing, or just remember, encourage them to do that as well. It's just some of those little things that just kind of change your mundane and make them a little more significant. So
I think we have overcomplicated what Jesus intended to be simple, which, you know, you could look at the greatest commands and it's to love God and love others. And so how do we love God? We love him by loving others. That's how people know that we are his disciples. And so if we really think about how and when do we feel most loved? And it usually is something like you mentioned. Those were great examples. And it's usually something very simple. You know, somebody sends us a text. You know, actually two friends sent me two different songs today. Like, hey, this song made me think of you. I thought it would bless you. You know, even just that, I was like, oh, they thought of me and it did bless me. And so then, you know, you think about somebody at the gym this morning, they just, you know, looked up at me, waved and smiled. And I just thought, oh, well, that's so nice. I hope they have a good day. You know, you just think about even something as simple as a hello or a smile or a text or opening a door, you know, those, like you mentioned, those simple acts of kindness really do make a big difference. You know, my daughter comes to mind. There's the same gentleman opens the door for her every single morning when I drop her off at school. And he, every morning he says, "How are you?" And he said, he told me the other day, he said, "You know, I open the car door for hundreds of kids." And he said, "Do you know that she's the only one that ever asks me how I am?" And it just, it was like, oh, I'm so proud of my little girl, you know? And I just think even that, it made a big difference to him. And so then in return, it made a big difference to me. And so I think we don't need to overcomplicate it. We need to just listen to God's still small voice, because that's how he speaks to us. And we need to do not despise small beginnings, but to just learn to value, like, okay, Lord, I'm listening to you. And if I hear you prompt me, I'm going to obey and I'm going to do it no matter if anybody sees me, no matter if I think it's small or even if I think it's silly. Like, I'm going to just trust you, Lord, that you're going to use this to further your kingdom and for your glory.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, it's just reminding me so many things. Just, you know, letting people in when you're driving in your lane, you know, just making that person feel significant. Because how many times you're trying to get into a lane and they just pretend they don't see you and they're just driving by and they won't let you in. You're like, oh. But, and that's so true when you say, respond back with, "How are you?" When someone says, "How are you?" "I'm well. How are you?" You know, it definitely makes that other person feel great. So I love that, because when you even do that at a fast food line, if someone says, "How are you?" most of the time people aren't asking, "How are you?" You're just giving them the order. But you can tell in their tone of voice when you say, "I'm well. How are you?" And they're like, "Oh, I'm okay. Thank you for asking." You know, it's kind of an unusual response back. So, and this also reminds me so much that you're just saying, in the simple little ways, we can make a difference. And I was in charge of the photos at my daughter's theater in high school. And so my job was to go and not take the pictures. The photographer did that, but I would go to Costco, get them developed, and then I would put them on a cardstock. And then those pictures would go on their board at their performance. And so I thought, okay, well, after a while, I started, you know, using the little picture stickies and then gluing them on the cardstock. And I'm just like, oh, wow, this is like, what did I get myself into? I volunteered for this, but wow, this is kind of a lot. And so after going through, you know, 60 students, and they had maybe 4 or 5 performances. This is before COVID. And so there was like 4 or 5 different times I had to do this with about 60 students. And just like you were saying, listening to that little still small voice of the Holy Spirit, being intentional also, you know, we have to, you know, kind of do our part. It helps when we're going, okay, how can I make this more significant? I mean, I think that's exactly the word I said. And I felt the Holy Spirit just say, pray over these students as you're putting the picture on the cardstock. Just start praying over them. And so that's exactly what I started doing. And, you know, I even got words like to pray over, like God was telling me like specifically what to pray over these students. And I'm not telling anyone, you know, obviously I'm saying this on the podcast because we're talking about significance, but this was just something that I had between God and I, and it was a wonderful experience. It went from mundane, stick the sticky, you know, tape on the paper and plaster their picture on there. It became something so much more after I brought in prayer and brought God into each of their lives, you know, just putting a hand there on their picture and praying for them. So
that is beautiful. And what a great way to bring the meaning to the mundane. And I think I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that is, prayer is something simple that we can do that is very significant. You know, I mean, I think, and we can all pray. We can all take the time to do it. You know, how many times do we scroll on social media and people have prayer requests, or, you know, people text us and say, will you pray for me? We can do that. And we don't have to be, you know, I know this has been a little bit of a socially distanced year. We can still do that. God prayed from afar. I think being present in people's life is also very, very important. You know, that doesn't take any special talent or skill necessarily, just to be present for one another, but we can also pray, and there's so much value in that.
Yeah, so much. Okay, so you talked about being that one that, you know, likes to get things done. Like, would you say you're attracted to the accomplishment of things?
Oh gosh, yes. Are you? Is that you too?
I mean, yeah, I'm a finisher. Like, I don't like, and it bothers me if I've got many God ideas and then it's like, you know, I'm not finishing them. So then it becomes a little bit disorderly and I'm just like, oh my gosh, now I'm overwhelmed. Now it feels crazy. But yeah, I am a finisher. So do you feel like you are getting better at that, or do you think it's still kind of there? And also, I wanted you to share a little bit about your podcast too, and what made you feel, I know you're saying, you know, what you did is kind of how you felt loved. So is that kind of what spurred you on with starting the Love Offering podcast?
Just a funny side note. So like when you were saying you get kind of like antsy when you don't finish something, like if I start a puzzle, which we did quite a few puzzles over, I normally don't, but like during COVID I did. And so it's like when I would sit down to start that 1,000-piece puzzle, you better believe I'm not done until the whole thing is complete. Like I can't even pull myself away. Yeah. So if that gives anybody an indication of my personality type.
Completionist.
Yes. And then in fact, even this weekend, we've got some house projects and my husband had a list and he was kind of marking them off. And I said, oh, you need to put, because we'd gotten my son a basketball goal for Christmas and we just put it up because the weather's finally good. I said, you need to put right basketball on goal on there because we just finished that and then we can cross it off. And he's like, Rachel, we don't need to put something on the list that we already accomplished just to cross it off. I'm like, oh, but wouldn't that make you just feel so good? So all that to say, that happened this weekend. I obviously still struggle with this, but I'm just praying that you know, like there's that saying that a weakness is just an overemphasized strength. So I'm just praying that this weakness in me is just a little bit overemphasized. And then, of course, I think God wants us to feel weak ways, because then we depend on His strength, right?
Yes, yes. And, you know, there's a lot of people who are good at starting things and they don't finish. So, I mean, we're good at finishing, but there's a lot of people that start and then that's their MO and they wish they could finish. Yeah.
Well, now everybody knows how to pray for me after all of that. So, but to answer your question about the Love Offering podcast. So, this is a little bit of a long story maybe, but I was thinking about like just the simplicity and the power of and significance of an invitation. And so this goes a little bit to my testimony as well. You know, when I was in that place as a mother and was feeling very lonely, I had one person that invited me to come to like Toddler Tales at the library. And so then I went to Toddler Tales. Mm. Then one person there invited me to come to MOPS. So I went to MOPS. Then one person there invited me to come to church. Mm-hmm. So I went to church. Then one person invited me to attend women's Bible study. So I went to women's Bible study. Then one person, you know, was like, oh, you know, would you ever consider writing? So I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I think I could lead and, you know, lead and write a Bible study, maybe. So then we started really like getting involved and serving in the children's ministry. And, you know, this is kind of the path. And it all started with a simple invitation. And I think had they not invited me, I don't know. I mean, maybe God probably can, He can get us anywhere He wants to go, but it did all start with that. But all that to say, so I started leading Bible study. I started really serving within the church. And I felt that significance and that, like, I don't know, just like, oh, this feels so good to be, I felt like doing what God had called me specifically to do. And I know that's not every woman's journey, but it was, I felt like it was for me in that season. And so that then led to gosh, if serving and loving others fills me up so much, is this the case for other women as well? You know, again, I feel like we're searching for this value and significance and worth. And could this be met, this fulfillment be met by filling up others? And so that was really the first thought, like, gosh, can we be love offerings? In fact, I actually saw a love offering envelope in the church pew in front of me. And that was the first initial thought that, you know, usually they're for monetary giving. But I thought, gosh, if we as human beings are love offerings. We are the tangible hands and feet of Jesus. And this is what we're supposed to do with our lives. And so I just really wanted to explore that with other women. Yeah. Like, how are you doing this in your life? Because it looks so different for all of us. We're all doing it in such different ways because we have different experiences and giftings and backgrounds, but it's all so valuable. And so, yeah, every week we just talk to each a new guest, a new woman. And we talked about this, you and I, before, like, what a gift this is to get to learn and glean from so many women and be inspired and encouraged by them to just, my mission for this podcast is to live faithfully and love fully. And that's what I pray for every woman listening today. Yeah.
So good. Well, do you have a takeaway for the listeners here for them to marinate on about significance? We would love to hear it.
Yeah, I think the main thing, and you actually were the one that said it, it's like we've got to start with the simply significant task, I think, of first having a relationship with the Lord, that one-on-one relationship, and focusing on letting Him fill us up and letting Him tell us that we are significant and that we have value in Him. But then once we have that peace, I think then listening to His voice and being responsive and obedient to that voice and being a cheerful, generous giver of whatever He has given you, even if you think it might be small, even if it's slower than you think it might be, even if you don't see the harvest, even if it feels very unseen, to just respond to Him, give what you have on behalf of others, loving others with what He's given you, and then just trusting that it will have an impact in His hands.
That's beautiful. And it reminds me of being obedient with what God has put right in front of you for right then and there. Just be faithful for what God has put right in front of you. And then He'll start giving you more and more. And that's a beautiful thing about God. So good. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for giving us your wisdom on this. And I know many of us are encouraged by the words that you just gave. So thanks.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening today. I trust that God has encouraged you through this message. For more information on this ministry and to access free downloads, please visit my website at jamieelizabeth.com and sign up. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Jamie Elizabeth She Speaks Life. That's J-A-Y-M-E Elizabeth She Speaks Life. Until next time, my friends, I pray God reveals Himself through your own life story.